time for the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show on KSCO. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Good afternoon, everyone. Why do we never get... Nice and windy day today. Beautiful, but windy. Good afternoon, Mrs. Future.
Good day.
And good afternoon, Bobby.
Wow, yeah, it's a beautiful, clear day. It was windier yesterday, but it's still windy.
Yeah, it's still pretty. We tried running bikes in the wind. I'm glad the bike was electric.
But the wind didn't affect it much. It was more the hill. You really appreciate the electric on the hill.
Sure. Hills plus wind definitely make you feel that you made a good investment.
I felt like we were taking a wind bath.
Yeah, a wind bath. That's it, Mrs. Future. Yeah, depending how warm you are.
Yeah, I had to take my jacket off. Boy, it was got hot.
Yeah, you can use it as a sail. You know, you just take your jacket and you fling out and catch the wind.
Who needs electric? Yeah, get a sail.
Yeah, renewable resources here. Sail clothes. I can see it now. Whole new sail on sails. We have quite a slate of stories today. Plus, we have Taylor in the studio for talking about all things Apple that just happened yesterday. Some major new announcements.
From the Developers Conference.
The WWDC. Yeah. It's the Worldwide Developers Conference. Amazing stuff. And he's going to get a download from him then. And we may have a surprise visitor in the studio. Mm-hmm. After 3.
Yes, we're going to introduce a new character, we believe.
Yes, in the scheme of things, I think you'll enjoy the professor. Leave it at that. He will hopefully show up in the second hour. We'll see. Meanwhile, we've got a lot of stories, and not the least of which is our billionaire Jeff Bezos is flying on Blue Origin. Mm-hmm. You probably heard that on the news. He's going up there with his brother, which is a sort of a childhood dream of them both. To fly to space together.
Yeah, you never think of him as a family man, but here he is flying with his brother.
Well, his brother considers one of his best friends.
I know, we learned from this article.
Yeah, so we have that posted. I'm going to try to go through a lot of these fairly quickly because of the limited amount of time for news this week. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was worth checking out. It would be fun to watch that. He's going to be the first one of the billionaires to fly in his own spacecraft. Mm-hmm. We also have Elon Musk, who hasn't gone up yet. Strange. And we also have Branson.
Yeah.
Richard Branson.
Richard Branson pre-sold many years worth of seats on his plane like 10 years ago. And he says that he's pre-sold 3 years worth of rides. Yeah. Meanwhile, you've got Jeff Bezos who's doing an auction for his seat on his...
Well, he's doing an auction for another seat. I think he's still going to go.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about for other passengers, obviously.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so they'll have a few others.
But right now, the extra seat to fly with Jeff Bezos is already bid up to $2.8 million by 6,000 people who are participating in the auction.
Wow.
There's 6,000 people in the world who would pay that.
Oh, sure. You know, what would you pay to fly up into space with the Bezos brothers? You know, that's a bonding experience. I mean, that's worth $2 million. I mean, that'll...
Yeah, them bragging rights.
Yeah, and what deals you might have from that kind of connection, man. Whew. Okay, let's go on to some other...
But he says that the winning bid will be donated to Blue Origin's educational nonprofit, which is called the Club for the Future. So, you know, it's a good cause.
All right, they'll all belong to the Club for the Future together. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good club.
To inspire future generations.
Yeah, if they make it back, right.
There's two careers.
I'm sure they will. You know.
Do you want me to give Taylor a full mic? Or
no, wait till 2:30 because he's going to talk a lot then.
Of course.
You're going to have to shout from the background as usual. No,
he's the peanut gallery. Just listen. Okay.
Taylor.
Yeah,
Hold on, man. Don't ask Bob questions until it's your turn.
He's straining at the bit. I know.
This is
The travails of being a traffic cop here in the studio. Mrs. Future, stop encouraging him.
I'm easily distracted.
I obviously. Okay, NASA's Juno space probe did a big thing yesterday. It's been orbiting Jupiter since 2016. It got a close-up look at Jupiter's biggest moon, Ganymede. Mm-hmm. Just happened.
Right. When they say close, they mean 6,000 miles away.
645 miles.
Oh. Oh, it got that close. Yeah. I'm just looking at the Twitter part.
Well, it's the closest visit to Ganymede since 2000. Ganymede is an icy moon. It's got a lot of water on it, significant amounts of water. Some think it might have a liquid ocean even underneath the icy surface. It's most of interest to scientists who are into origin of life, exoplanet life, outside of the Earth life, other systems in our own solar system. And it might indeed have it with the liquid water. It's got gravitational tugging from the giant planets, and that creates warmth. So it might actually have a warm body of water that could help with the existence of life as well. There's also some sun.
Oh, and of course, the most distinctive feature that Ganymede has that most moons do not have is
magnetic field.
Magnetosphere.
Right, the magnetosphere. Mm. Very important because the magnetic field around our planet protects us from these charged particles that are just spewing from the sun. And Ganymede does that for it. So it just might actually be something that we could turn into a place where humans might be able to live. It's one of the four biggest moons of Jupiter. It's one of the ones that Galileo had seen in the earlier days. Io is more closer in, and it's volcanically active. So we got some pretty good pictures. They're not out yet. We'll find out in the next couple of days what that looks like on Ganymede.
Okay.
So after the break, we'll cover the rest of the stories.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Yes, we have a question that came in whether or not Ganymede has an atmosphere. And yes, it does have an atmosphere. It has oxygen and it has some ozone.
And a lot of ice.
But it's too thin for anything we know to breathe.
And the ice melts because of Jupiter's gravitational fields.
Right, that's fascinating too.
Yeah, boy.
God, we could spend a whole hour on Ganymede. But it must move on.
Okay.
We have a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. Sean from Live Oak. You want to say hi?
Okay, I'll say hi to Sean.
Hi,
sure.
Sean. Welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Hi there. Yeah. And I sent you some stuff on the Sphinx, and one was the special with Charleston Heston. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yes, I saw the link for that, but I haven't had a chance to look at that yet. But thank you. Appreciate that. And more about the potential comet collision with the planet 12,900 years ago. Yeah, fascinating.
The thing that I find kind of interesting on the Sphinx thing is that they have water erosion, and there wasn't enough rainfall there until about easily 7,000 to 8,000 years before they think that it was built. So how does the Sphinx quarry have this massive rainwater erosion? So it means that the Sphinx is possibly a lot older. And the other thing is that the reason I find this interesting is if we do find any civilization that was wiped out by this comet impact, then that sort of lends more credence to the other thing that I've been saying about a space program. It's a good thing to have because
the planet might not be safe forever.
Well, it's good to have a multiplanetary species because it increases the chances of our survival.
It also increases the chance of keeping our Earth survivable and our civilization intact on Earth. So it's...
Yeah, if we don't overuse the planet, wear it out, so to speak.
Yes. Well, we definitely want to hone our survival skills in every direction. Take care of the planet, take care of the people, take care of all life, build ourselves some ships that can be autonomous all throughout the solar system and beyond.
You know, but by going to places like Mars, we are actually learning how to be better stewards of ecosystems because we have to. We have to understand them in order to survive. Yeah. Here we just take it for granted, relatively speaking. But there we'll learn it and know and understand it. And the kids will all learn it and understand it at a very young age. Mm-hmm. Ecosystem thinking will be normal in the near future.
Yeah.
That was the thing, I guess the thing that's given me some interest in this is I'm for the space program for all the other reasons, but for me, another good reason is just that with enough space infrastructure, our ability to protect our planet, you know, increases logarithmically. And
that's a great point to make. Make sure you tell your friends to think that it's a waste of time to spend money on space. You know, that's one of the good arguments why we should go into space.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree with that. And you know, what's interesting is there was also an announcement this week that NASA and SpaceX are teaming up to build a moon base. But what's interesting about that infrastructure is that it is in orbit as opposed to being on the moon.
Kind of like the Starship Enterprise. Right?
Yeah, just sort of stay in orbit around a planet. You know,
stay on the ship unless you're on the away team.
Yeah, it's better there. You know, you don't have to worry with changing weather or sun. It's all much more predictable.
Yes.
So this is like an ISS around the moon instead of around the Earth?
Yeah, it's kind of like a lunar space station, but a place where you can go to the moon, or you can go to Mars, you can go to Earth. It's like a
calling it a transfer, moon base.
A jump-off point.
jump-off point in lunar orbit. And it's a lot easier as a jump-off point to be in orbit than it is to be on the surface. It's less energy to take off from the surface. And they're designing craft to go down and come back on a regular basis. It's pretty easy to land and take off from the moon as opposed to building a base on the moon and having to supply it with lots of ships coming in all the time and leaving. It's very similar to what Bruce Damer has often talked about on the show, that our space colonization will not be so much of the planetary surfaces, but by being in orbits around the various planets and moons.
Yeah, so in Dr. Future Links today, we have a link which is all about the Artemis program, and that is NASA's bid to win, well, let's see, I guess NASA has given that to SpaceX, that they're going to actually build this moon base. And the moon base has four main parts. It has the Orion spacecraft. It has the Gateway Lunar Space Station. It has lunar landers. And it has Orion Generation spacesuits. So those are the Artemis program.
And you can read all about that. Some of the things that it's all on our links page in great detail. Most we can do is just touch on some of this a little bit here.
Yes, we are speeding through space today.
Yeah.
Another thing about orbital stations.
Yeah.
I've brought up the topic of terraforming Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would work for that because at this time of this situation that's on the surface of Venus.
Yeah.
We can't get down there to make a base.
No, it's a pain in the butt. It's not survivable. Well, orbiting makes total sense for Venus. I agree with you there.
But I'm just talking about the terraforming in theirs. Then we can either introduce
changes from orbit.
Well, I mean, introducing photosynthetic life that can either float in the atmosphere, or if we can't do that, then we wind up having greenhouses that can float in the atmosphere, and that would...
That would convert the soy CO2 into oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and start to transform the planet slowly, 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 but surely.
The thing is if you can ever get a genetically engineer a life form that can float and be photosynthetic.
It's photosynthetic, some kind of extremophile. A microbe, most likely, that can live in that environment. There is an atmosphere, for those who don't know, there's a layer of the Venusian atmosphere that actually might be habitable by life as we know it. And we could see that layer of the atmosphere with little microbes, and life will have a foothold on another world. And we know how tenacious life is. Once it gets a foothold, it's going to try to hold on and keep expanding.
Yeah, but the thing is if you get something like a photosynthetic bacteria, and it reproduces like bacteria does.
Yeah, it could go pretty fast.
Yeah.
Well, let's just hope there's no life there already that we are destroying by doing so. I guess that's the first test, is to really look at those layers on Venus to see if they are indeed inhabited already or not. Mm. And then if they're not, it's a blank canvas
for
us.
If there's no border patrol... We're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It continues to evolve. It's very interesting. Back on Earth, the Navy has a new pilotless tanker that refuels an aircraft carrier jets without any pilot. The drone just refueled a U.S. Navy jet, an F-18 Super Hornet, Friday. And this will allow the military to have a fleet of drones traveling around the planet 24/7 in the air, refueling planes wherever they're needed. they'll be able to organize it that way. They want to redistribute some of the forces, especially around China, because the Chinese have targeted the several bases that we have that are within missile range of China. And so the Pentagon is responding by moving resources around dozens of locations in this.
Yeah, just yesterday you were reading me an article about how the various bases that we have all have potholes in the landing strips.
Some of them haven't been used for a very long time. We had very handy in World War II.
They're really in disrepair.
Going to Japan.
And so we're just, we're moving off of the planet entirely, going up to drones that never have to land.
Never have to
land. And they'll get fueled while they're in space.
Yeah, a sky fuel.
Yeah.
There's a very interesting picture of that. You can see it on the line here.
Right.
Fluidity seems to be part of the story of the day here. Rather than bases being solid places on good old terra firma, they're moving around to have...
We have to take our habitat with us.
Yeah.
Our body is a space suit, but then our space suit needs a bigger space suit.
We seem to move
space.
Around, right? They're thinking about that for fueling electric cars now, having tanker trucks on the road that basically recharge your car.
Sure.
Especially with the autonomous cars, they can dock much more effectively.
Swap your battery.
Yeah. Well, no, charge your battery.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess swapping would be a little harder on the road. Maybe not. I suppose if you design it for a battery swap by robots, it could work. So, yeah, more fluidity seems to be part of the story here with this.
Well, if you had something that was about the size of a semi-trailer, the car drives up into the semi-trailer, and then the battery swap occurs there, and then after the battery swap occurs, the car goes back on the road.
Yeah, it just slides out from the semi-trailer.
Yeah, it's like going to a gas station, except instead of filling up your tank with gas, you just drop your old battery, slides it out of the way, pop in your new one, off you go.
Yeah, all automatically. You're in the back watching movies with your friends or doing work while this all happens.
But, of course, this isn't going to be your own car. This is going to be an autonomous fleet of cars that everyone uses, and they just do ride shares. Call them.
Yeah, it seems like it's going in that direction, for sure. Also, on their links page, we have some info about the Alzheimer's drug at Helm that you just heard about this week. It's a new treatment for early onset Alzheimer's. You might want to read about that. There's also a new UFO-like eVTOL vehicle that carries 40 people from San Francisco to L.A.
We just don't have enough time,
not enough time
for
to cover all this
fun stuff, eh?
But now we're going to cover Apple stuff for the next segment. So stay tuned for that. Thanks, Sean, for your input. Pretty appreciate it.
Links always appreciated.
And we'll see you on the other side, Bobby.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay. Welcome back to the show. Yes, yesterday Apple had some big announcements for the future. They have started their WWDC this year, the Worldwide Developers Conference. And at the beginning, there's always an announcement of the latest and greatest stuff that's coming down the pike, especially in the near future as opposed to now. Probably the fall, a lot of it in the fall. So to help decode all these developments, we have Taylor Barcroft in the studio with us, our Apple analyst, who will now give us a little download.
He took very detailed notes, and he's going to give us a shortcut.
Yeah, remember.
So you don't have to watch the whole thing. Yeah. You can get all the cliff notes.
No, you do have to watch the whole thing.
He's hardcore. He watches the whole thing.
The shortcut is you have to watch the video.
Yeah, and the video is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, we're not in a position here to
explain
it all.
It's very high
production values. Yeah.
This is information for developers so that they can write new code to work with iOS 15, which won't be released to the public until September.
That's right. We're all on 14 now.
Right. Yeah, we're on 14.6.
Yeah. So what would you say we'll notice the most for the average person that is not a techie from all the new developments? The interface, new sound. Is there new sound capabilities that we'll hear? Better speakers? What, you know? Help us out here.
Better speakers? I don't know. Bobby, did you watch the video?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, Bobby, why don't you tell us what you
thought? I watched it, too.
No, that's why we have you.
What did you like, Taylor? This we're paying you the big bucks for?
Focus instead of do not disturb, so you can have personal time, work time, sleep time.
Do not disturb
time.
You like the do not disturb feature.
Well, it's called focus.
Oh.
So it expands Do Not Disturb to include personal time and work time and sleep time. So in those different times, we'd have different apps available or different notifications, rather, coming at you.
So it screens your info depending on what mode you're in, whether you're in sleep mode or work mode or play mode?
Personal would be like personal emails and iMessages, and work would be work-related emails and messages, stuff like that.
Right, right, right.
Then there's live text. They can take text off of any photograph and turn it into digital text.
Yeah, you can aim it at a sign or a piece of paper or a screen.
Translate.
Yeah.
And just translate on the spot, right?
Right.
Yeah, I thought the translate was getting to be more sophisticated. I'm used to seeing like Google Translate lead the pack, but it's nice to see Apple coming up in that division.
They're expanding Wallet to include car keys, house keys, hotel keys, your ID. If you're in the right state, you can put your driver's license in it, in the wallet. Mm. And you can also have your flight boarding pass in your wallet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've done that.
Yeah.
And you can be automatically checked into your hotel and have the keys in your wallet already, so you don't have to go to the counter and say, may I please have a set of keys?
You have your vaccine passport in your wallet, too?
Yeah, they're trying to turn your phone into your ID. They're just expanding wallets, so it just does everything for you.
Let's not talk about vaccine.
No, we will not.
I didn't say that.
No, he did.
I said vaccine passport. That's all I said. That's but in the wallet.
I don't care.
I'm not going to talk about it.
No, but you know
that's
what?
A charged topic,
they
I know.
They did not talk about that.
No, they didn't. I was thinking that, though. I was thinking that.
Thank you for clarifying.
That you can put your license in.
Yeah, Al put that out, and it's not put out by Apple, so don't blame Apple for all that.
And your phone can be your car key.
All right, let's go on.
The Apple Maps are more expanded.
What's that?
The Apple Maps are more expanded. There's Dolby Atmos with, if you have AirPods.
Wait a minute, better sound for Apple Maps?
It's complicated. You got to read this, read and watch the video and read the articles.
I always wanted better sound from my maps. Now, what do you mean? Oh, those are two topics that you talked about.
Siri is spatial audio.
That's what it's very interesting to me. It's three-dimensional audio.
Dolby Atmos. It's not so much three-dimensional as it puts the audio where the pictures are. Like if you're in FaceTime, the audio will be in the upper left-hand corner if that upper left-hand corner is the person that's talking, or the lower right-hand corner if that's the person that's talking.
Right.
The audio will move according to who's talking.
Right, compared to where they are. So it gives you that spatial representation of information.
Yeah, iPad OS 15 does home screen widgets.
Now, the widgets have been around for a while.
Multitasking, shelf. Yeah, widgets have been around for the iPhone, but not for the iPad so much, because it was really limited to just the left side of the iPad. Now you can put them anywhere.
For the uninitiated.
And you can have them on multiple pages, too.
For the uninitiated, what are the widgets?
They're like synopses of different apps like the calendar or the can't think of what else.
What do you use it for?
I just have a news or just a general widget that scrolls through different apps.
Use widgets, Bobby?
It always tells me the weather locally and things like that. So that's about as much.
You get to customize them more than you could on the iOS 14.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that.
More customization of your widgets.
Yeah, and you can. The app library is in the dock, so you can bring the app library up from the dock anytime you want to like find something instead of using search. I don't understand all these new improvements. I'm just a regular user.
Yeah,
you know, it was one of those where they're trying to simplify everything in terms of how you use it. And so it was almost all about the interface features and way more refinements on how everything works. And it ended up being, even though they think they're simplifying it, it was a little overwhelming because there's so many minute details. I felt like they threw 1,000 new features at us. I got overwhelmed.
There are quick notes and there are thumb notes. And there's Translate for iPad, which translates a whole bunch of different languages on the fly, auto-translate. Swift Playgrounds, you can build apps on an iPad now. That's new.
Your iPad can literally become your work computer.
Yeah.
With the M1 chip, I guess it is as powerful.
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of people with M1 iPad, 12.9-inch iPads that are returning them because they're upset that Apple didn't announce Final Cut Pro for iPad for the 200 people that have an iPad 2021 12.9-inch iPad with 1 or 2 terabytes. Who's got that? Almost nobody. only people that are crazy like me, I'm getting the 2 terabyte model because I'm nuts.
Yeah.
And then Al bought the 1 terabyte model so he could have 16 gigs of working space.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not the mass market. That's not what Apple's not going to make Final Cut Pro for a couple of people that have an iPad Pro with M1.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen for
Taylor,
at least another year.
I have to tell you, I don't think you're in the graphic arts market. And I do think that there's a lot of people. I know a lot of people who do lots of different little web video productions with their phone and their iPad. And they're using Final Cut because they've been using it forever. And there's a lot of people out there. It's just one of their...
Yeah, I know. Tools. I'm saying if they have a Mac, yes.
No, on the iPad.
But there's no Final Cut Pro on the iPad.
Well, I don't mean that they're using it.
Well, I've got the Adobe Suite on mine, and I'm going to see what it can do. I really know how to edit video very well on Premiere Pro, so we'll see what the Premiere version on the iPad can do. I'll let you know.
Okay, also try that other one. What was the name of that thing that I've... Yeah, Luma Fusion. Try
Luma
that.
Fusion.
$30.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But everybody's using it.
Yeah.
So spend the $30 for your 12.9.
All right, I'll see what's
and
possible.
See how that goes.
I think it'll be very interesting to see what media
we need your feedback, though. I'm not a video editor.
And Mrs. Future just got me an Apple Pencil to use with it, too.
I thought you already had one.
She had two. I didn't have any.
Well, why didn't you share with them instead
just
of buying
did,
another
because
one?
I didn't have a machine that was compatible.
I'm sure. Yeah, you didn't have an iPad that could use it.
So now I do, so I'm very happy.
Oh, you're sharing.
Yeah, and I think...
okay, she didn't buy it for you. She just gave you one of hers.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay, let's clarify.
All right, now, what about the privacy issues? I understand.
Yeah, lots of privacy.
Yeah.
You want privacy, you got it.
Yeah, I understand they have new privacy-focused features, like Apple Mail will block tracking pixels.
Hide the IP address.
Uh-huh. It'll hide your IP address so that people can't see where you're coming from.
For all the scanners and lurkers.
That is. So they don't know what your address is. That's good.
There's on-device processing for Siri coming up. That's a big one.
Well, that's where Siri can work without an internet connection.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Works on your device.
On-device speech recognition.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah.
That's
okay.
Good. It gives more autonomy.
There's only
autonomy.
600 million users of Siri right now.
How many?
Only 600 million.
Out of how many installed?
Isn't 3 billion or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, so less than a quarter of the people use.
There's iCloud Plus. That's free. They're adding that to all the iCloud subscriptions. If you buy 2 terabytes or 200 megabytes or more.
Yeah, I think I have that.
For $10 a month.
And that gives me more...
gives you more privacy. It also gives you the ability to write Xcode. There's Xcode Cloud now, so you can write Xcode on your iPad.
Right, so I can just...
Which you could not do Xcode work. So that's one of three professional apps that people wanted. And Xcode is right there right away. I just don't think people should expect too much too soon for the M1 iPad Pro because it's just too new. And there's not very many. There's only several hundred out there, or maybe even several thousand, but...
Still, it's the front end. Well, now, Xcode, for the uninitiated,
that's how programmers make their apps.
That's the bread and butter app that you learn to use.
And now you can do it on the iPad, and you can run the simulations on your iPad.
Right, wherever you carry your iPad,
you
can work.
Yeah.
If you're a coder.
Health has a bunch of mobility additions.
Yeah, I noticed that. They
walking steadiness. There's a lab glossary for the labs.
Walking steadiness, you mean your gait as you're walking? You can tell if
whether or not you're walking funkily or goodly.
Yeah, they basically had a therapist say that the way that
how much you drink
is indicative of your health, and especially people who maybe have issues with, what's it called, neuropathy, where you can't feel your feet, things like that. It has some new routines to help people who have
chronic conditions. There's health sharing. Look, you can share your health with your relatives. They can share their health with you. So if you have elderly
well that's
relatives,
a big part of our conversation.
You can monitor their condition.
We won't have anything to talk about.
Good.
And we don't have anything to talk about if our Apple's doing all that. We talk about health all the time with our relatives. Okay, well, we got to go for a break. We'll be right back with Taylor Barcroft on the latest download from
WWDC. Okay, we still got to get
WWDC
into the watch and the Mac.
Right. We'll be right there.
Running down a dream.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We're just talking to Taylor Barcroft about the latest announcements at the Worldwide Developers Conference for Apple. And
iOS 15 works on the 6S and the SE, the original SE, so it goes all the way back. The watch is Series 3, 4, 5, 6, and the SE.
So back to the 3 for the
watch.
That's
iOS 8.
Yeah, that goes back before mine.
And iOS 8 has got improvements with the health, the breath app. It's got reflect, mindfulness, sleep app is better, fitness plus adds Tai Chi and Pilates.
Now, these are new apps that work with it? Or?
Yeah, these are the fitness plus app you have to subscribe to for $10 a month.
I see.
But it's got Tai Chi and Pilates now. And
is there any new electronics on the watch? The 6 version was able to pick up cardiogram information, heart rate, pulse, that sort of thing.
Right, it does that. The great thing about the 6 is it charges in less than 2 hours.
Okay, so the better battery.
Yeah, it's way better. Just even on the 5-watt little old iPhone adapter, you know?
Right.
It'll charge in like 90 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, okay, that's the 6, the iPhone, the
Six. Watch 6. We don't know about the 7 till September.
Right.
You know that universal control?
Universal control. You get to drag your mouse across your iPad and
from
your
one
iBook,
to the other,
your MacBook and your iMac.
That was pretty impressive, seeing your cursor go across all these different devices.
Yeah. It gets you to want to buy the whole ecosystem.
They're definitely trying to get you to do that.
Yeah.
Matter, that's the cross-platform standard now. Matter, which is beyond Apple, that's Google and all the other guys have got together in a thing,
for the
thing called
there.
Manner for cross-platform standardization.
Uh-huh. So they're part of that too then.
And there's package detection. Okay, you get a package delivered on your doorstep.
Right.
And the watch says, hey, you got a package.
Yeah, well, they're kind of going in that direction anyway. The Amazon announcements on my
It's Mac,
text.
Mac OS Monterey, everybody. We're getting closer to Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
coming up the coast.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, it's Mac OS Monterey. That's otherwise known as, 12? I think it's 12. Huh. Continuity, universal control, AirPlay to Mac. Shortcuts, auto matter. I don't know what these words mean.
Okay,
Safari, world's fastest browser, 17
better browsers.
Hours on iMac Pro M1. You get 17 hours of browsing before your battery goes kaput.
Well, 17 hours.
The tabs are way improved on Safari. Big deal on the Safari tabs on the Mac.
Mm. Why do you like them?
The web extensions.
You're all excited about it. I thought that was one of those, so what? For me.
What, the tabs?
The tabs, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic.
Okay, well, there you go.
And web extensions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was curious, during the break, we talked about the AirPods, and it seemed to me like we're taking up some of the capabilities that normally you would see for hearing aids, and they were built into the AirPods as some new capacities.
You can get rid of the ambient noise. That's the big thing.
Background noise.
So your voice is more prominent when you're doing a Zoom call or now the new FaceTime group is adaptable to Android and Windows phones too.
Multi-platform.
Through the browser.
That's right.
Yeah, you can send a browser URL to your friends that don't have iPhones.
FaceTime got a little more like Zoom.
Yeah, FaceTime's trying to copy Zoom and get some of that Zoom action. And if you go longer than 14 minutes on Zoom, you got to pay for it. On that FaceTime, it's free for as long as you want.
Hmm.
And then you got the spatial audio going on with the FaceTime, too, so you can tell exactly where somebody's talking.
So when you're listening to a FaceTime conference call, let me get this cleared out. If I'm having a group conference call, I will actually hear them in different locations in the soundscape?
No, you know what it is? If you looked at the illustration, they had all of the FaceTime icons for different speakers, little boxes with the faces.
Right.
They're in different parts of the screen, and so the speaker is going to go to that side.
The spatial audio,
they
call spatial audio, will be according to where the picture is.
Yes, I've often...
So it'd be on the left or the middle or the right.
That's great. Now, I've often thought that a good way to cover a cocktail party, for example, would be to be able to travel from circle to circle of people talking and literally hear the audio change as you walk around the room, the virtual room in this case. I'm thinking of that more in virtual reality.
Oh, so you want a reality. Cocktail party on virtual cocktail parties.
Yeah, virtual...
Your future.
How you would make one, how you make a good cocktail party online. I've often thought about that. So this technology sounds definitely worth trying for
Join
that kind
Al
of experiment.
At the beach online.
Yeah, you won't have to be at the beach, just me.
Yeah, don't come.
Don't come.
He likes it alone.
Yeah. But I like having you there virtually.
Virtually, yeah.
You're really good virtually, Taylor.
I know, yeah. I know. We try to keep it that way all the time.
We do. Well, and it works for us, right? It works. And then no disease problems.
I haven't been to your house since you moved in.
Yeah. Next time, we're going to ask you to bring a paintbrush.
We're going to have a, we're going to have a 10-year anniversary meeting.
We'd redo the walls. Okay. Any other apps?
There's just a lot of stuff, and a lot of people have got to read the articles.
Okay,
and
Bobby.
Watch the videos. Go, Bobby.
Maps. Talk about the 3D. The 3D map.
Oh, yeah. They made maps much more attractive. I hope Santa Cruz gets included in the maps because they've got all kinds of detail now about particular buildings. And
like 3D buildings?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and elevation also.
Oh, yeah, elevation.
Yeah, you can see mountains. Yeah.
Yeah, you can see the crosswalks. When you're in a city, you can see where the crosswalks are and where the bike lanes are. It goes into super detail, more detail than ever before.
That could be really handy, especially if, say, you're going to a foreign or another city where you don't know it really.
Yeah, right now it's limited to very few cities. Yeah. But it'd
be very helpful in England so you don't get run over by looking in the wrong direction.
Yeah, they probably have London.
That'd be good.
Continuity. Have you heard about continuity? Something to do with OS Monterey, Mike OS Monterey.
No, I haven't heard about that.
Oh, you can AirPlay to Mac now, not just to the TV.
Right, so that instead of going to a flat panel with your phone, you can go to a Mac, any Mac.
Yeah.
Can receive your signal. Yeah. That's interesting, yeah.
Shortcuts is the new automator. Automator?
Automation.
Automation, yeah. Shortcuts is the new automation. And
so I'm guessing, Taylor, these are all features you're not planning to use.
Well, I don't know if I've tried.
He's not a programmer.
I don't know if I'm going to. You have to learn to use these things. And my,
if you're a developer, I think the reason they're pointing all of this is because this is all the user interface design stuff.
Like,
these are all.
Yeah, and they have APIs for the developers to use to implement this stuff inside their apps.
Yeah.
That was what they were trying to get to yesterday. I mean, yesterday, if you weren't a developer when you attended the keynote, it felt like, hey, this really isn't for me. This is for the guys in the audience. If there is no audience. Oh, yeah, the audience is online. But anyway, the point is that they weren't really talking about these things with respect to the end user as much as they were the developer being able to incorporate this kind of stuff inside their individual apps.
Yeah. So I think maybe instead of talking about the features, maybe just the overview of where Apple seems to be going with this, because that's really what I took away from it, is how they're really turning the Apple universe into an augmented reality universe.
More privacy.
With more privacy.
It's probably a big part of what they're doing.
Yeah.
No, that's a big
concern.
Along
with honing stuff that's already there, making it more easier than ever before.
Now, for those who are into coding, this isn't just an announcement. Yeah, this is actually an event going on right now
with
hundreds of sessions.
For three more days, yeah.
Where people can tune in to the details of any of the things that we mentioned.
Right, exactly.
And
I watched that State of the Union yesterday. It was strictly for developers. But the interesting thing is that they've made writing code faster. The code is simpler now. It's like what was previously several paragraphs of code is now one paragraph. And so
it's getting easier to code.
Yeah, they're making it a lot easier to code Swift code.
Wow, so you can start to think about maybe
Swift
more.
Is pretty much
if it gets easier, it means more people will be developing.
Exactly. And you can develop on the iPad, which is really amazing. Before you couldn't do that.
So you expand, make it easier and make it more accessible.
Exactly.
Wow. So we're going to have a generation
Apple's
of coders.
Apple's always been about that.
Getting more people to learn how to actually make stuff.
Yeah, buy into the interface, buy into the
ecosystem.
So you're feeling tempted? You want to create your own app?
No. I just want to watch TV.
I see. How about you, Bobby?
No, it gives a lot of ideas of what you can do with this.
You're still going to get your M1 iPad, though, right, Bobby?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course. Well, there's a lot of people online saying, no, don't do that. Don't, stop. And they all have 2018 or 2020 iPad Pros.
Fairly new, yeah.
So they're not talking to us. We don't have anything like that.
You have a 2016.
Al's was 2014,
yeah.
Right?
Hey, it's the last minute here.
Bobby and I have one that's 6 years old.
We have a caller, and we have no more time.
Okay, let's take your caller real quick, and then there goes the music. The caller and the music at the same time.
Go, caller.
Hey, Mark.
This is KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hey.
You're in the last minute of the first hour.
30 seconds.
30 seconds and you can say something.
Go.
Hi, everybody. I thought I'd call in and say hello.
Oh, Mark.
I'm so glad. Mark, hey. Stay on for after the break, okay?
Who is it?
You got to go to the traffic and weather. All right. Okay, hang tight.
Okay,
all right. This is Dr. Future Show on KSCO, Santa Cruz.
Who's it?
And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. Yes, at the last minute, we got a caller from a friend of ours who is an Apple developer.
Yes, yes. Who developed our app with us.
Party Projector.
The Party Projector app, as well as many other beautiful apps like The Alchemist Rose, one of my favorites, and a few others.
Music visualization at its finest.
Yes.
And welcome, Mark, to the show. We appreciate it.
Hey, can you guys hear me all right?
We hear you. You hear you, yeah.
Fantastic.
From an actual developer's point of view, what's the highlight of the show that you've heard so far?
So coming up to the show, we were expecting new hardware, the second generation of the ARM chips for the Mac. The ARM chip transition for Apple on the Mac is huge. It's an earthquake across the whole industry. It's really important. So we were all looking forward to the next hardware, the M1X or the M2.
Yeah.
So we were disappointed that they didn't announce any hardware. But
this wasn't a hardware show, in other words.
You wanted a new chip.
It's a software.
The old chip is no longer relevant.
We expected the second generation chip. We didn't get it. But yes, it's a software event. And that's a good point.
Oh,
but
that's probably because of COVID, don't you think? I understand
totally
chips are in short supply. They can't even get enough for all the cars.
Yep. My favorite thing was Universal Control. Which was
that's across all platforms where you can move the cursor from one to one.
You can like move the cursor like off the screen of your Mac and then onto your iPad, grab something and drag and drop it onto your computer.
Yeah.
It's very intuitive. It's like a product called Synergy that I've used for decades. Mm. So yeah, it's super, super cool.
Now it's already, they have it built in now, I guess, as part of the Apple.
One of the reasons they probably didn't announce that MacBook Pro is because they're having trouble with the yields on the mini LED screens, which they want to use on that next MacBook Pro.
That's a very reasonable theory. I would believe that. Yeah.
Those are from China.
Agreed. The mini LEDs are a little bit of an issue, yeah. And then the other biggest thing that I noticed at Apple Church was concurrency in the new Swift programming language. So we've been waiting for that for a really long time. Apple's new programming language from half a decade ago or so, Swift, just finally added their parallelism.
Swift 2.0.
Construct. More than 2.0. They're on Swift 5 right now, I think. So they just added concurrency, so you can program for multiple processors natively in multiple cores, CPU cores inside of Swift natively. So we've been waiting for that. That sort of makes the programming language legitimately mature at this point.
Nice. And what about the spatialized audio? Are you excited about that?
Spatialized audio sounds really interesting. The lossless quality audio, hi-fi quality from Apple Music really, really affects me. I think that's probably more important in a sense. Spotify's been doing that. Of course, Tidal pioneered that high-quality audio. Spotify, they're all offering it. But Apple came out with their no-cost lossless audio. And then the spatial audio stuff sounds interesting and strange. I think it makes sense with movies. Mm-hmm. You have headphones, you like turn your head and I think that places the instrument instruments around. Like there's a few tracks maybe that are mastered to have like placement with headphones.
Or spatialized spatialized group FaceTime calls sound interesting too.
Hmm. Oh, did they say that? With the spatialized audio.
Right.
Yeah, they talked about FaceTime first. You probably missed that part.
Yeah.
I missed that. That sounds super interesting.
It is.
So it's not just music and not just recorded content. Really interesting.
That's what I'm thinking.
Also, I like it.
It's when it gets ready for augmented reality and certainly in virtual reality.
I'm definitely ready for the augmented reality. Bring it on.
Yeah, they have the kit that they announced as well, the update on the AR kit.
Fantastic. So, I got to look into that. That's very important to me, too.
Yeah.
All these features will be available in the fall for everybody and in July for brave beta testers, public betas. In July.
For developers. Huh?
For everybody.
Okay. I'm ready for the
chiming in, everybody.
Yeah. Appreciate your call, Mark. That's good timing. on that.
Cheers, you guys.
All right. All right.
Lots of love. See you soon.
All right. Bye. Thanks for coming.
Happy house hunting.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
So, the final few seconds, Taylor, anything you're excited about for the fall?
Excited for a 1 terabyte iPhone. Yeah, that'll be buying.
The 1 terabyte iPhone.
The 1 terabyte iPhone 13 or 12S,
whatever they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, the Pro Max. Yeah, it'll be fun. Okay. With the LiDAR. I still don't have LiDAR, so you got to get on the LiDAR bandwagon, everybody.
Right, that's AR stuff. All right, well, thanks so much for being part of the show.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care.
See you in September.
Excellent. Till then.
Adios.
That's Taylor Barcroft, our Apple analyst, giving you the update. Mark Buchanan on the line from a programmer's point of view. Looks like we have our special guest has arrived.